Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave! Dave smells like nougat!
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
Welcome to the Chronic Podcast, as always sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place, Court, Baton Rouge. They have 136 draft beers on tap to watch preseason football, which is rapidly approaching. Great menu. LSU football is coming. You should go there for that. The Pelican House, 2572 Place, City Place, Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. Go there. They support us, so you should support them. First off, you two assholes, Dave and Kevin, I'm in Seattle doing a live podcast because Jimmy Graham signs a contract. Kevin's out man-whoring. That's excusable. But you, Dave, text me, I fell asleep. What are you, 80? Jesus, man. I know you got
I have a full-time job and a kid, and we were scheduled for 8:30 or something, or 9?
8:30? It's not...
And as soon as my kid went to bed, I went to go take a quick cat nap, and I didn't wake up until right after the show was over.
You're like...
It was like, you know, when you're late for school and you wake up late, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, thank God Juge called in. Or else it would have just been me begging for Twitter questions. All right. So, Dave, I'll start with you. The Jimmy Graham contract, anything at all surprising about it?
No, not really. It's exactly what we thought it was going to be. It was $10 million for, 4 years? I think the only thing that's somewhat surprising, is the length of it. It's not a 5 or a 6 year deal. It's only a 4 year deal, but... You know, I think both sides are probably okay with that. You know, 4 years, that's plenty of time for the Saints to reevaluate. You know, Graham's probably not going to be putting up these ridiculous numbers 4 years from now. But in the event that he is, then it gives Graham the chance to cash in one last time for a big contract, either with the Saints or with another team. So, you know, he's the highest paid tight end in NFL history. That's what he should be. I thought John Oliver wrote a good post on Canal Street Chronicles. He is kind of getting paid like a top tier receiver. He may not be getting paid as much as the top two guys, but he's definitely in that top five or the top 10. He's getting paid $13 million this year.
Yeah. And he gets 21 over the, or 21 over the first two.
The guarantee?
$21 million. Yeah, so I mean, you know, he did good. He got what he deserved. To be honest with you, he could have gotten more. Just from a stats standpoint and what he brings and what he produces, he probably could have gotten a larger contract. But
how much would
tight end?
How much would he have got if he would have been a free agent completely? No tag, no restrictions, no nothing.
As a tight end or a receiver?
Just if he would have just been free to negotiate with 31 other NFL teams.
He probably could have gotten more. You're right. He probably could have gotten 11, 12 million a year for 4 or 5 years. But it is what it is. But that might have been overpaying him. So. It is what it is. He got paid more than Gronkowski, and he's the highest paid tight end in NFL history. So you can't cry about that.
Kevin, what does Jimmy Graham have to do this year to not hear complaints of being overpaid?
He doesn't have to totally replicate what he's done the last 2 years. I think if he gets a lot of catches and yardage,
or if he ends up getting a lot of touchdowns. Like, he could somehow pull out, like, a very low number of receiving yards, like somewhere in the 700-800 yard range, which would be very low for him. But if he ended up getting, you know, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, it would be completely – it would be okay. Flip that around. If he ended up getting 1,300-1,400 yards, which is, again, actually, I think that might be too much. Like, if he ended up getting, like, 1,200 and then got low number of touchdowns but wasn't fumbling the ball, like, as long as he doesn't look like a scrub out there and pedestrian, then it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's just where does the excellence come in?
I think he needs 9+ touchdowns and 1,000 yards. That's where I stand.
I think that's fair. I mean
he just had 16 touchdowns. So, you know, 9+, let's say he had 10 touchdowns this season. That's significantly less than he had last season, but that's still respectable. That's still worth his contract. And he obviously had, like, what, 1,200 yards. So if he had, like, you know, 1,100 yards, again, maybe not as much as he put up last year. It was a monster year for him last year, but still definitely respectable. And definitely that would almost assuredly probably make him the highest producing tight end in the league.
Yeah, and well, that brings up an interesting thing that I put in my column today, and this is for fun, so we'll do best case scenario. If the Saints have Colston, Graham, Kenny Stills, and Brandon Cooks, Kevin, and they're all relatively healthy and even close to what we think they're capable of, couldn't you make the argument that while it'll be great fun for Sean Payton as a play caller and it'll be awesome to watch as a fan, for fantasy football purposes and individual purposes, they all might be restricted and go into that, like Dave said, 800 to 900 yard category, unless Drew Brees is going to throw for like 6,000 yards?
Well, I mean, hell, if they're all healthy, the entire season, Drew Brees is hitting 5,000 yards.
Well, yeah, but still, even if he does, you're not. Even when Drew Brees has hit 5,000 yards, you're not. They haven't had guys that multiple 2, 3, 4 guys that have 1,000 yards.
No, but I think what would happen then is you'd probably see Jimmy Graham hit 1,200 yards again. You'd see Colston probably get close to 1,000. And then the rest of the guys would probably be like 700 and below. I mean, you know, you'd probably get one of those games where you'd have those games where Cooks would probably be the lead receiver, but it would be like four or five catches for like 140 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then he'd have games where he would get like 1 or 2 catches for like 25 yards, and then that would be it.
But doesn't that make my case that if you have Brandon Cooks and Stills having 800 yards receiving, and you have Marcus Colston, you know, between 900 and 1,000, that means none of them are like number 2 receivers on your fantasy team. They're all like number 3 guys.
Well, I mean, the ball's got to go. You only get one ball on the field. The ball's got to go to somebody. The ball only gets to go to one person on every snap.
Actually, Goodell's thinking about changing that rule.
I'm sure he is.
Dave, if I told you
for the Pro Bowl, I'm sure.
Pick.
I wouldn't draft any Saints wide receivers. Actually, I take that back. If there was one receiver on the Saints that I would take, it would be in a PPR league, and it would be Brandon Cooks.
Ah, PPR league. That's a good point. As we go into training camp, and this roster is just fucking loaded in every which way, I think. And we've talked about worst case scenario and a guy you want to have the best year. We've talked about that before. But Kevin, if I told you an underrated guy that people aren't thinking about, he doesn't have to have a great year, but he can't have a horrible year. Who's a guy that the Saints really need? Not Drew Brees, obviously, but they need a guy who fans aren't talking about that just needs to have a good, solid
Well, look, I tell you what,
year they won the Super Bowl. Just good, solid, straight ahead, dependable. We're not railing against him on Twitter post game.
I'm not going to be able to answer that question. I'm just not, because I got to be honest. If the fans aren't talking about him, sadly, I probably haven't seen enough of the name yet. Like I'm going to be honest. I'm not even going to try and bullshit an answer. hey, you know what? At least I'm giving you an honest answer and a legit response. Unlike a lot of fucking blowhards, okay?
I thought of that question, but I don't have an answer. Dave, do you have an answer?
I mean, I don't have an answer for somebody that nobody's talking about, but I mean, I would say Teron Armstead, if he's got, you know, he doesn't have to have an amazing season. He just, like you said, he just can't have a terrible season, because if he's having a terrible season, Drew's face is in the dirt. The running game is probably suffering, and they may very well be losing games. And on top of that, there's really nobody behind him. So, injuries aside, you know, if Teron Armstead could definitely get away with having a mediocre season, I think they'd be fine.
I was going to say, while I was listening to you, Dave, I was going to piggyback on that. I think the guards, I worry about them because they're over 30 and Evans had never missed a start until last year. And I feel like that's a sure sign of decline. And I just worry how steep is that decline going to start to be for Grubbs and Evans as they go over 30.
Are we talking like Drew Brees level decline, or what are we talking here?
I mean, just, you know, the decline in that they're still – obviously if they're injured, that's different. But decline of like – the Saints have always had, Kevin – really great guard play for Drew Brees. You know, they had Evans and they had Carl Nix for a big chunk of it. And, and then when Nix left, they got Grubbs and he's been, you know, not quite at that level, but close. So they've always had elite guards, and the Saints, you can argue back and forth whether they're right or whether they're wrong, but they value guards more than they value tackles because they pay them more. And if their guards are shitty, we've never seen that with Drew Brees, and that would be a huge, huge worry for me if you started having mediocre guard play and they weren't injured. You know?
Who were the guards back in like 06 and 07? Who'd you have, like Brian Young?
You had Evans right from the – you had Evans right from the jump, and you had Nesbitt. And then you had Carl Nix.
Right. You had Brian Young was defense.
What's that?
I said, yeah, what position did Young play? He was
Brian Young was defensive tackle.
Yeah, okay.
He was good a couple of years under Hazlitt. And then his knees started to give out.
For a second I thought when you mentioned Young at first, I was like, oh, Osama Young?
Osama Young.
Like, no.
You say Osama Young, all I think is the touchdown in the Super Bowl.
All that Saints fans think about.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing.
They had Saints Day on the NFL Network on Saturday. They had a lot of fun things. They needed to go old school, though, and show like 1980s games. That's what I feel like, total off topic, Kevin, I feel like the NFL Network needs to show just random NFL games from like the 70s and 80s, and just
they could probably have an NFL classic channel and just have a whole
or just have like show an old 80s game, but instead of having the commentary, have just like two diehard fans from the teams commenting on it.
Like a mystery space
Mystery Science Theater. You could have like two
hello games.
You could have
I think I lost you there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so like I think the last thing I heard was I think the NFL Network needs to show older games.
Yeah, like Mystery Science Theater style.
Oh, yeah. Mystery Science Theater, anything is I'm always up for that. But yeah, I think they should be showing older games, like just random ass. Hey, folks, tune in Thursday night. We're going to show a Week 13 matchup, you know, featuring the 1983 San Diego Chargers, you know, just random shit.
Yeah, because like No one's fucking watching the NFL Network in fucking June. I mean, come on.
Well, I certainly don't need to watch All Access for the fourth time in the day.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that is true.
Right. I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, I always find it funny when – and again, I don't have cable, let alone extended cable. But if you are showing the same shows – like literally the same shows, not like a different version of the show like SportsCenter does where, oh, the hosts are different or some shit. No, if you're literally showing the same show at like three or four times in a day, you got to put more content out there. If you're making people charging more people for a network and you're not providing enough content, I mean, that's kind of crap. You're just repeating the same BS. You're just repeating the same shit. And then, you know, you're becoming ESPN, but about the NFL.
Yeah. I would say this. The NFL Network, they have some horrible talking heads. I'm just going to say it.
Really? A sports network employs horrible talking heads? I am stunned by this.
I mean,
this.
But like their quality, Kevin, if you let's do that for fun. Rank like ESPN's talking heads and Fox and CBS and NBC. I think I'd put NFL Network on the bottom. I mean, ESPN is fucking annoying, but they have so many. Like at least ESPN I could pick out a couple that I like.
Who would you put on the top? CBS?
I'm in the minority on this, but I like Chris Collinsworth.
I still like Chris Collinsworth.
I feel like Chris Collinsworth.
So NBC. Yeah, NBC's probably the best.
I feel like Chris Collinsworth, even though NBC has Peter King and Tony Dungy, who we'll get to in a second, I feel like Chris Collinsworth is so good, he balances those two guys out. And I just like Chris Collinsworth because I feel like when I watch him, I know that he watches all the games. When I watch the NFL Network, I feel like certain guys like Irving and Sapp, I feel like last year I watched more football than Warren Sapp. I really, truly believe that. He's better than me. He might know more football than me. But I'm pretty certain I watched more games than him last year.
And that Warren Sapp's entertaining. I mean, I was just watching him last night on NFL Network. He's just you ever watch Warren Sapp when he's not talking and somebody else is talking? You ever watch his reactions to what other people are saying? That to me is the show right there.
They need a Warren. You know,
there'll be somebody will make a point and Warren Sapp will agree, and you just the next time you watch NFL Network, whatever show that is that he's on, just keep your eyes focused on Warren Sapp. You know, like when you're watching a football game and you focus in on one player, like the tackle or the guard or something like that. Do that with Warren Sapp. Just focus in on Warren Sapp and look at his facial expressions and his reactions to what other people are saying. It's quite entertaining, quite amusing.
Yeah. I will do that next time. So, all right. Another off-topic NFL thing. Tony Dungy.
Oh, show is off-topic.
Well, I mean, the Saints are going to training camp. We've had a show. We have a show all year. We've gone through every goddamn training camp topic you can go through.
No, I know.
So Tony Dungy, Kevin, they asked him about Michael Sam, and he said he wouldn't have drafted him because quote-unquote stuff will come up. And he caught a lot of crap for it. And I feel like deservedly so because Tony Dungy – has been very outspoken that he is not for gay marriage, and he's very religious, and that's fine. But, Kevin, it annoys me that he's not honest and says, you know what, gay people shouldn't marry, I don't like them, the Bible says it's wrong, and I don't like Michael Sam. But he doesn't have the balls to say it because he likes being on NBC. And that is what annoyed me about Tony Dungy. Because he says all the coded words about stuff, and everybody knows what he's thinking, and that's what annoyed me about it. And I thought he should have got shit, and he should get more shit for it. Kevin, do you agree with me or not?
Yes. Although he has quote unquote clarified his statements today,
yeah,
and said that he thinks Michael Sam should absolutely, you know, get a chance to play and all this other kind of shit, which is great.
It's not
because
on a Tony Dungy team.
Oh, actually, well, no. In his clarification, he said that he wouldn't have a problem. Like, he apparently said that he wouldn't have had a problem putting him on his team or some shit. This is going to drive Ralph nuts, but you almost have to go back and listen to Olbermann. Olbermann had a takedown of Dungy last night on his show, and Dungy months ago in February said things that contradicted the things that were in his interview. So either he comes off as being hypocritical at best, or he came off as being hypocritical at best, and in today's day and age, it's tough to get a read on who somebody really is, because the second they say something and it offends one person, they have to backtrack immediately, regardless of what it is, and try and please whoever the hell they were talking to in the first place. I kind of agree with what Ralph said. It's like, look, if you want to feel that way, fine, feel that way. And if people want to not be around you or not associate themselves with you because of it, then that is a proper response for them. And of course, the problem with that then becomes, and I was seeing all these clown shoes on pop up in comment sections, is, oh, if he'd have been fired, that would have been a violation of his First Amendment rights. No, it wouldn't. Like, everybody that jumps to that clearly doesn't know what the First Amendment says.
Or protects.
And I'm not even saying that I wish Tony Dungy would be more honest so NBC would fire him. I just wish people could be more honest in general. Like, it doesn't – Tony does not – if a person doesn't like gays or whatever, they don't like this or they don't like that, it doesn't kill anybody. But now, because people go on witch hunts through social media, it's like – people, they got a, Tony Dungy said one sentence and he had to give, 400 words to clarify it, because people want to, people want to scout. It's like people are as Dan Levitard said today, people are want to prove how intolerant they are of intolerant people, and they will come after you. But I don't know.
Well, at the same time, that doesn't – see, and that's the other argument too, that kind of – like that argument that Levitard might be trying to make kind of irks me too. The whole, you have to be – to prove you are the most tolerant person, you have to tolerate people being assholes. Like, I don't have – like, if you want to sit there and say a lot of shit that is just so ridiculously wrong and offensive, you can – you can. I would defend your right to that.
But I don't.
You're wrong. Right. Well, you're wrong, and all this other kind of shit too.
Well, Dan Levitard's his main point today was that the reason why this was such a huge deal is because it's July 22nd and there's absolutely no fucking sports news, and the beast must be fed on ESPN. Skip Bayless has got to work and got to talk about something. So that's why
you don't want Skip just pulling shit out of nowhere.
No. So I don't know.
And Mike Wilbon has to get all high and mighty about something.
Oh God, Wilbon. I used to record PTI and DVR it and watch it almost every. I don't like PTI. I'm done with PTI.
The only reason to watch PTI, seriously, I still love Tony Kornheiser, even though he's like ridiculously old and out of touch.
And orange,
but I'll still watch it for him. And then when Levitard substitutes,
Levitard really, his show on ESPN Radio is my favorite show. Like, it's delightful. It's delightful drive time listening. So as my cats just fuck my one of the cats just went Macho Man Randy Savage off the counter. It was tremendous.
Nice.
Sean Orleans is proud of that.
Yeah. Speaking of Sean Orleans, Kevin, you're on Twitter. You're skipping out a podcast. You're banging hoes, man whoring your way across St. Louis. The people want to know: are you being safe? Because we don't want you getting Herp or the
oh,
hip.
Oh, Herp, yes.
You know.
No, 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 double I am it. Not. No, no there
double will be, bag yeah. it.
Yes, I am. I am wearing a hat.
You're wearing a hat. That's good. We're passing out a dental dam, one of the two.
A dental dam.
Oh,
pretty sure
God.
Saran wrap would suffice.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm being safe both in the ring and in the bedroom.
How is the wrestling going, by the way?
Oh, that's fine. That's great. Sean Orleans is the new commissioner of the indie promotion that he works out of, and. So that's good, and he had like a extended match finally, a solo extended match like the first time, and he got his chest chopped raw.
Like I like how you referred to him in the third person. This is wonderful.
Chopped.
Well, because you're talking to Kevin Held.
I get that.
Right.
So. All right, so I, like a dumbass, forgot to ask people for Twitter questions, so I will do it right now, and if we get some in the next 2 minutes, we'll do them. But I do have this question, and Kevin, you can go first. Is there – after I saw the photo last week of Rob Ryan walking through the airport with the three pizza boxes and the stuffed monkey on his shoulder –
I didn't see this.
You didn't see that? It was last week. He was just walking through. I guess it was New Orleans, Louis Armstrong. He had three pizza boxes and a stuffed monkey on his shoulder. Is there any picture?
Where can I find this?
Is there any picture that Rob Ryan could surface on the internet, Kevin, that you would go, holy shit, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe Rob Ryan did that.
Hmm.
Where can I find this picture?
Just Google Rob Ryan pizza boxes, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Rob Ryan, like, on a Pacific island, like, eating somebody with cannibals. Like, maybe that's about it.
I'd say a Rob Ryan sex tape.
Oh,
I'd love for that to surface somehow. Maybe like with Rex's wife.
Oh my God, Dave,
he's
you
licking
went...
her toes.
Oh my God. If that did happen, Kevin, does it lead SportsCenter?
A sex tape or the cannibal thing?
Sex tape.
Oh, yeah, it's leading SportsCenter. It's absolutely leading SportsCenter. I mean, they're going to dispatch What's-His-Face back to the Superdome, and he's going to be scanning the lockers for hidden microphones or hidden cameras.
John Barr.
Yeah, that clown.
I found the picture. That's not a monkey. I don't know what that is. But
I thought it was a monkey.
I don't know.
It's the stuffed animal, though.
But I'm also noticing the shirt. I love the shirt. It's so big. It's like a sheet that just got sewn at the side and just wrapped around him. Like the drop tail on the shirt comes down almost to his fucking knees. I mean, I know he's got to have a big shirt because front wise it's got to cover the gut. And it's funny because it's like it comes down so far in the back, but in the front it's a pretty normal length because his gut just holds it up in the front there. It's pretty awesome. And those look like mini pizzas. So three mini pizzas, that's got to be all for him. He's not sharing
that with
anybody.
He's got kids, though. He might know
everything. No, he's not sharing that with anybody. Three mini pizzas? That's like an appetizer. Before he gets on the plane.
I don't know. That might be a monkey on his on the thing.
I don't know. It looks like something with two penises.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, or like a cow with udders. I don't know what the hell that is.
Milky the Marvelous Cow. Whatever I don't think that was a stuffed animal, though.
And then the poor girl in the foreground, she's all over the internet now because some random guy took a photo of Rob Ryan in the airport.
Does Rob Ryan have kids?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
He's married. I don't know. He's married for sure. That's good stuff. Well, thanks for turning me on to that picture.
We only have one question so far for Twitter. It's Billy Gomley from End the Valley Shook. He says, Billy, when y'all going to have me on? Billy, we'll have you on next week to break down LSU football.
We didn't know that was an option.
We need
Yeah, so you want to be a guest on the podcast, folks? Just email it. Just tweet us and complain that you haven't been a guest. And
you're on.
You have something to offer. He breaks down LSU and like watches film and stuff. And he works at LSU too, I think. He's like a media advisor. He makes sure Les Miles' microphone works and the grass is fresh. So, I don't know what I'm like. Like, Kevin, people are batshit insane over this Saints team. I mean, look, granted, ever since 2006, you know, the Saints went to the NFC Championship, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, we've always been excited for Saints seasons, you know. But I'm going to say, and I said in my column today, I've never seen the fan base this excited and have this high expectations for a Saints team in July. Now, 2009, we got excited when they started kicking the shit out of teams in preseason. But I can't remember a Saints team ever having this high expectations. Am I crazy?
I think
finish what you're eating there, buddy.
Right. I got to get the steak down. I think the year that is what she said. I think the year after the Super Bowl probably had maybe the highest expectations. But I don't know. Like, I'm not there, and I'm certainly not reading as much as you are, Ralph.
You heard of this thing called the internet?
Yeah. Have you heard of this thing called free time?
Yeah, Jesus.
No, I'm talking
my free time. My free time is occupied.
No, I'm talking to you, Ralph. You obviously have too much of it.
No, my free time. Look, sadly, my free time is – well, no, not sadly. Fuck y'all. My free time is occupied by the squared circle and the vertical smile.
Oh, goodness. Good Lord.
The vertical smile. You mean the vertical taco?
Boom, boom, tsh. Here all week, try the veal.
Yes, I am.
This is a legitimate football question, so I'll ask it to you, Dave. This is from Adam Strickland. How concerned are you about John Jenkins now that he is on the PUP list?
Did he really get put on the PUP list today?
He did, apparently.
Yeah, so what? So he's out for the first, six games or something?
Well, no, they can – the PUP list in training camp is different. They can – you got to – they have to take you off of it by a certain time.
Certainly not excited about it. That certainly doesn't do it for me. I'm hoping for the best. I think, entering his sophomore year, I'm sure he was going to he was poised for bigger and better things this season. I think the Black and Gold report I saw, they had a whole post of gifts of John Jenkins blowing up offenses and offensive lines. So that actually got me kind of excited. And now you're telling me this terrible, disappointing news. But I don't know. I think you just got to wait and see. I mean, I have no idea how serious it is.
Dave, you forgot rule number one about the Saints and injuries. Adam, you should be worried because the Saints fucking lie about injuries.
Well, it's still early. It's not like they need to be lying for the sake of being deceptive for an opponent next week. At this point, there's really no need to be lying too much. So, that's why I'm still going to remain fairly hopeful here.
All right. We have a question from Moby. This is for you, Kevin. When does football season unofficially begin? When will I start having daily Saints news to read? Training camp preseason, when does it start?
Wait, like What do you mean unofficially? I mean,
like when do you officially say it's football season? When does it officially start for Kevin Held?
For Kevin Held, it doesn't start till week one of the regular season.
Well, that's why we have you on. You're the expert.
Right. That's what I'm paid for, man. I get the hard-hitting questions, and I shoot straight for it.
Football season started today, Moby. I go to WWLTV.com and read my 1,600-word mediocre masterpiece on the Saints and expectations. So football season started today. Dave, when does football season start for you?
Never ends.
Oh, my God. I want to punch you in the balls.
Hey, so, NFL.com, hire Cariello. He also agrees football season never ends.
Oh, it ends. It ends.
No, it ends after the Super Bowl, and it starts with training camp.
I would say really football season really gets fired up the first preseason game, because then you're like, you're excited, you're pumped up, and of course, 10 minutes after it starts, you're like, God, this sucks, preseason football. I fucking hate it. But the day of the game, you're like, it's football. I got something to watch. You might get a nice meal. You can have a beer, whatever. So I say the first preseason game is really and truly when football season starts. Not the Hall of Fame game. The first Saints game is when it really kicks into gear. So that's about it for the Twitter questions. Thanks for all four of you. Training camp has started. Dave, what will you have at your fantastic website besides news about the Saints waiving two players, signing players, and breakdowns and other things?
I don't know. Hans just sent out an email to everybody trying to get everybody prepped and ready for training camp, and I haven't even read it yet, so I'm a bad boss. But it looks like John Oliver is going to be counting down every day from now until week one against Atlanta, so we'll have that. At some point, we'll finish up our most hated Saints tournament.
Middle of the year, in October.
We're in the No. We'll finish it up before the season, but we've only got three matches left, the two final four matches and then the finale. I think Kevin is going to continue to look at all the offensive line guys and breaking them down, doing film studies on them as we head into preseason.
Yep, in my basement.
Lots of good stuff. I'm actually excited about our coverage this year. I think it's going to be
Kevin
the best.
That's Kevin Skiver, not Kevin Hill. Kevin, you haven't written anything since 2011.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's pronounced Skiver. I actually don't know. It could be
Skiver. It's probably Skiver. If whatever I said, it's wrong.
Right. You still think Hakeem Nicks plays for the Saints?
He does. He does. He's gonna be fantastic this week. He's gonna be fantastic this year. I was reading all his stats on Pro Football Focus. So, for Andrew, who was MIA because he was getting his ass kicked at softball or hitting tennis balls against a wall. For Dave, our fearless leader, go to Canal Street Chronicles. Six Sundays away from Atlanta. And for Kevin Held, who is on Twitter when he's not banging chicks in the greater St. Louis area. I'm Ralph Marlborough. Until next week, be safe. And
I'm living the 20s I should have.
We'll be right back.